Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Taqwi. In this edition, we will look at the annual International Al-Quds Day. We'll cover the meaning of this special day, a day which the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, declared as the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, and why this Quds Day holds special meaning due to the Arab Spring, and why Israel's suppression of Palestinians may be reaching its end due to less influence of Western powers and a weakening of Israel from within.
The late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Imam Khomeini, designated the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan the Quds Day in 1979. It expresses solidarity with the Palestinians and opposes Israel's occupation of Palestinian lands, including Jerusalem al-Quds, home to Islam's third holiest site. For more than 30 years now, the day has been marked on the calendars of millions of people across the world. But the day has already been marked in some Western countries. One of the first Al-Quds Day rally held this year was in Britain, a week before the actual date. Activists in London have said that they will always organize peaceful rallies on the last Sunday of the month of Ramadan in support of the Palestinian people.
Day to mark the particular day of Quds, to give our support to the Palestinian people, and that's what I really wanted to sort of give a message to the people on the march today. And the participants are not just Muslims who are in the march today. They're non-Muslims, they are political activists, they are sort of socially conscious people who are here to give their support to the Palestinian cause.
In Europe, some of the largest rallies of the year are held on that day. European countries including Germany, France, and Sweden see turnouts of tens of thousands of people on the streets condemning Israel and expressing support with the Palestinians. This year, the day has fallen on major events taking place in the Middle East. With the revolutions taking place throughout the Arab world, Al-Quds Day's political message is bound to add momentum to the issue of solidarity with the Palestinian cause. Egyptians, Tunisians, and Libyans may just celebrate that day after years of bans in place by the fallen dictators who once ruled over them. Pro-Israeli former leaders of Tunisia and Egypt are gone now. In Egypt, anti-Israeli sentiments are high 1 week after Israeli forces killed several Egyptian soldiers. Tensions have been escalating in the region. Israel has been escalating its deadly attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip on an almost daily basis. Tel Aviv has felt threatened by the Palestinian Authority's plan to seek statehood at the UN in September. And on top of all that, Israel has an ongoing domestic crisis at hand. Millions of Israelis are complaining about the skyrocketing cost of living there. Analysts say Israel is trying to export its internal crisis into what it views as the weakest link in the region. With Palestinians again being killed in Israeli airstrikes over the past days, the outcome of the Al-Quds Day rally may be unprecedented this year as more and more people continue to awaken to Israel's crimes against the Palestinians.
Let me first welcome our guest from Jews United Against Zionism. Rabbi David Feldman joins us from New York. We have the President of the Council for the National Interest, Allison Ware, who joins us from Minneapolis. And rounding off the list from the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mark Glenn joins us from Idaho via Skype. Thank you all for joining us in this news analysis. I'm going to go first to Rabbi David Feldman. Al-Quds Day, Rabbi, stands up for Palestinians who are suppressed. As a people's movement, in your opinion, how successful has it been over the years to support the Palestinian cause?
What I would say is, first, I pray to the Almighty my words should be successful and understood. This is not the first year that we join in commemoration of the Al-Quds Day. We joined this already for many years, and we do feel that this is definitely picking up, even in our country, in the United States. The organization of these events are getting stronger. They used to have this in Washington, D.C. on a smaller level. This is the first year they do this. They plan tomorrow to have this in a much, much bigger scale. We really hope that this turns out to be very successful. And we say all the time that this is so important. We need to remember what is being done to the Palestinian people already for decades, especially in the recent years in Gaza with this besieged Gaza, which is terrible. I personally visited Gaza with some of my colleagues twice since this siege. And we witness with our eyes what's happening there. it's a total disaster. It brings tears to one's eyes to see, to remember, and to think about this. It's so very important to stand up and to oppose. And what we say as Jews is what we try to explain this all the time. People should not have a mistake by believing that this state of Israel represents all Jews or, God forbid, represents the Jewish religion. This is not what religion is. This is against religion. It is against the Jewish people. Many, many Jewish communities worldwide are so upset and so outraged to what's happening already for decades. We have people in many, many major cities, as it was mentioned before on the show, that in London, England, there was a demonstration. We had a participation there. We scheduled to be in New York City, Seattle, Washington, Dallas, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois, and many other places in Europe as well. And we always need to remember the great difference between Judaism and Zionism. Judaism is an old religion going back thousands of years, simply serving the one God, be loyal to the Almighty, to His word and to His commandments, versus this very relatively new concept of Zionism, which is only about 100 years old, totally against religion, totally against God, and does not represent the entire Jewish people.
Okay, Alison Weir, let me bring you in here. Talk about oppressed. Let's figure out what relative impact this Al-Quds Day is going to have, and its really political, perhaps, implications, given that it's set to be more special, especially due to the Arab Spring. Can you explain why that would be?
Well, it's a combination right now, because
this is for
the Arab
Weir.
Spring
Go ahead,
has
Alison
been
Weir.
Very hopeful for. It's a very mixed time, truthfully, because in some ways the Arab Spring has been so exciting to see people coming together to work for liberty and for an end to oppression and having some remarkable successes. So that's been, I think, very inspiring for many people around the world, even Israelis. However, right now we're also in the midst of new airstrikes against the Palestinians in Gaza. It looks to me from the latest reports I'm seeing, 9 more people have been killed. In the last week, it's something like at least 25, probably more, many dozens injured, small children, 2-year-olds. So it's a hopeful sign in that many people, I think a growing number of people around the world and in the United States, are learning about what's going on and are trying to support Palestinian human rights and justice. So that's a growing movement. But Israeli power, especially military power, is still enormous. And right now they are using it against people in Gaza.
Well, Alison, we are, unfortunately, the figure you gave is less one. It has been 10 Palestinians who have been killed based on the latest reports. Let me go to you now, Mark Glenn. To what extent do you think Israel, in terms of its oppression, feels the pinch due to the fall of some of the pro-U.S. and pro-Israeli dictatorships in the region? I mean, we can't lose sight of the fact that Israel is facing its own internal crisis of the huge protest movement within Israel.
I don't think Israel is feeling the pinch at all. I think that she's perfectly pleased with the downfall of these formerly pro-Israel, pro-U.S. Leaders. I believe that at least the initial reports coming out of Israel that Israel was worried about who might replace them, that this was just an act on the part of Israel. I think that she is perfectly content with the sense of instability that is reigning throughout the region. And even if she lost the support of some of these countries, big deal. She still maintains the fourth largest military in the world, and there isn't an Arab country or an association of Arab countries that could effectively stand up against her. So I don't think Israel is feeling the pinch at all. I would like to side to mention the fact that the Al-Quds Day that will be celebrated on the last Friday of Ramadan. I think that this is something that even though it is centered mainly within the Islamic community, that Christians around the world need to start paying attention to this as well, because Palestinians are not just Muslims. We have many Christians there as well who are suffering just as badly as their Muslim counterparts. And I think that this is something that the Islamic community, that is promoting particularly Iran and your very honorable president, Ahmadinejad, that they need to reach out to the Christian world and to make them understand that the Palestinian issue is not just an Islamic issue, that there are many Christians there who are suffering as well, that Christians have a vested interest in this, because it is not just the de-Islamification and the de-Palestinianization of the region that is taking place. When Israel feels confident enough that she no longer has to rely on the economic and military support from the West, and principally from America, she will begin the process of moving these Christian shrines out of Israel as well. It's not just the destruction of these Islamic centers and other things. It will be Christians as well. So all of these Christians, particularly in the United States, that give their blind support to this racist, genocidal entity in the Middle East, and that they believe that this is part of God's plan, that Israel is supposed to behave basically like a mad dog, as former Defense Minister Shayan described Israel, they don't realize that they're actually undermining the very foundations of their own faith, because Israel will, as I said, when she feels confident enough, she will begin bulldozing Christian churches and Christian shrines in addition to the Islamic ones.
Well, since you're bringing the Islamic theme in here, I'd like to ask you, Rabbi David Feldman, Iran's leader on Islamic awakening, he has said, quote, one of these developments results was that it confirmed the ineffectiveness of the Western political and economic theories. And please notice that he used the word theories. Maybe you can explain what he means here, because that does carry some weight that he's putting that word theory in there in terms of what he's trying to explain as the Islamic awakening, perhaps, that is going on.
Well, the Islamic awakening which is going on now is something that is, we see it, that it is going in the right direction. We hope that this is successful for the favor of all people. Everybody wants that the people at large, in general, worldwide, should live in peace. This is the only inspiration that all of us have. We certainly do see a hope, a nicer future. We believe as religious people that God would not allow evil to succeed forever. And we see this even in practical terms, but we really need to pray, and we hope that this should turn out to be in the right direction. Everything should be in the favor of all of us. What I would like to add to what Mark said before is about the Christian suffering in Palestine as well, which is certainly true, but we also need to remember that the Jewish community in Palestine is also suffering. There used to be a religious Jewish community before Zionism came about. They lived in peace with the Muslim brothers, with the Arab neighbors in Palestine and in other Arab countries. This is a total disaster, not only to Palestine. This is a total disaster for the Jewish minority that lived in Palestine, which today, unfortunately, what we see, this terrible bloodshed and this terrible hate, which is simply going on, which is not a favor for none of us. It's a total disaster for the Arab Palestinians and for the Jews, and we really are so upset about this. And this is exactly why all religious leaders in Palestine and in Europe at the time, by the beginning of the movement of Zionism began, they were totally opposed it, and they totally spoke out and wrote opposition against it on humanitarian level and on religious level. According to Judaism, the state of Israel is forbidden. Jews are forbidden to create their own state. Mm-hmm. We are in a divinely decreed exile, and we are forbidden to fight other people. And we simply see this, we cry about what's happening, what's going on, and we do hope for a better future.
Alison Weir, let's bring in the United States. Many people are saying that the U.S. credibility has been damaged in this region due to its support of dictators. We can mention Egypt, Tunisia, and Yemen, just to name a few there. Do you think the popular revolutions in the Arab world is going to affect Washington's policy of this, what's viewed as a lopsided support for Israel?
Well, I think the lopsided support for Israel has damaged the U.S. for many decades. And the interesting thing is that was predicted by experts in the State Department, our diplomats, experts in the Pentagon, but especially the diplomats abroad as well. We're all warning Wilson, then Roosevelt, then Truman, presidents since then, that supporting a theocracy in the Middle East, in which non-Jews would be expelled to make way for it, would involve massive bloodshed, would be against U.S. principles, and would be extremely damaging to U.S. interests in the region. There are a great many memos saying that. They were correct. Unfortunately, they were largely ignored because there is a very powerful lobby in the United States. It was already powerful then. It's become even more significant since that time. And we now have 81 American congressmen and women over in Israel on all-expense-paid trips to Israel. That's almost 20% of the American Congress that is over on trips meant to influence their votes, and they will succeed. They give Israel $8 million per day, and then even more money on top of that. But you are entirely correct. The foreign policies that are being pushed by the lobby that our congresspeople then agree to, our president then follows through on, are very they're tragic for the region, and they are extremely damaging to Americans as well.
Let's look at some of the things that have happened, Mark Glenn. I'm sorry, Allison Weir. Mark Glenn, the 2008 Gaza war, Mavi Marmara attack, just recently the largest number of settlement construction to occur, mainly in Jerusalem al-Quds. The siege on the Gaza Strip, of course, and the attacks, as Allison Weir just mentioned, not to mention the occupation of Palestinian lands, systematic attacks, of which it entails taking away lands, houses, etc. How would you evaluate the international response over the years, which has not prevented Israel from stopping what has been deemed as illegal activities?
Well, there is no international response. There is an international reaction, and it is very half-hearted because nobody wants to get on Israel's bad side. It's no mystery that Israel holds this very vicious dog on this leash and known as the United States, and now, as we have seen in Libya, NATO as well. And nobody wants to get on the bad side of Israel because, again, as former Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon described Israel, she is a mad dog. And so the response has been nothing. I mean, there's more concern for the suffering of the people in Darfur, which is completely justified. But you see more mobilization on the part of the world community in dealing with the suffering that is taking place in Darfur and Somalia than you will for the Palestinians. It's one of these events, it's one of these things that historians one day will look back on this, and they will say to themselves, what was the world thinking? They sat by all of the lessons and the lecturing that we have gotten since the end of World War II about the Holocaust. You know, how could people sit by and allow these things to happen and simply do nothing? This will be applied to the situation in the Middle East, and especially towards the Palestinians. And historians will sit and scratch their heads in befuddlement and say, what were these people thinking? They allowed this genocide to continue, not just for a few short years as took place under Adolf Hitler, but literally for generations. So the response on the part of the world has been nothing, and completely understandable. We're dealing with an outlaw regime, a group of organized gangsters, and they play rough. They play for keeps, and anybody who has any questions about that need look only at what has happened to Iraq and Afghanistan and now Libya, because these countries happen to get on the bad side of Israel, and Israel loosed her most vicious attack dog on them.
Let's look, Rabbi Feldman, at one of the movements that has been pretty much successful against Israel, and it has been embodied in resistance through the Hezbollah movement. Why do you think the West has excluded groups such as Hezbollah? We could also name the Hamas, the governments in the Gaza Strip, having talks on the politics of these respective governments.
Well, those governments do play the game together with Israel. They want to be in brotherhood with Israel, and Israel does work very hard to blame any organization that stands up against it, whether it's right or wrong. And this, unfortunately, is the situation. This doesn't mean that this brings a favor to any of us. Simply just makes the situation worse by oppressing people more and more. It's unfortunately just getting worse. When we see what's happening in Gaza by oppressing the Hamas government and the people of Gaza, is simply a crime for itself, and just simply elevating the anger and the hate from the Arabs upon Jewish people, Israelis, and Jewish people as a whole, which is a total tragedy. We really need to understand and to look back to the root cause of the problem in the Middle East, and specifically in Palestine. We need to understand that in the first place, this occupation was wrong. The Israelis came up with this idea, with this new philosophy of this a Jewish homeland on the account of other people. As I said before, the concept of a Jewish homeland is totally forbidden according to Jews, even without oppressing other people. But when this oppresses other people, it's simply international crime, which cannot be condoned in no way.
Let me bring in Alison Weir here. Alison Weir, we talked about a people movement, and none of that really is as evident perhaps any time in history than the landscape of the people movements against what they have called the dictatorship. But in terms of a people movement, boycott, divestment, and sanction, and a host of other actions against Israel, such as ones that were cited in the Russell Tribunal on Palestine, has brought about awareness, just like Al-Quds rallies have. Is this success, do you think, more evident today than in the past?
I do. I think it's growing. It's becoming more diverse. In the United States, we're seeing people joining it, both from the left and from the right and from the middle. So it's increasing. More people are feeling that they can finally speak out and actually do something about it. It's very interesting. There's a 74-year-old man from Texas who is sailing a 39-foot boat from Texas to the Eastern Mediterranean to honor U.S. Servicemen who were killed by Israel almost 45 years ago on board the USS Liberty. And he's also doing that to bring awareness about what is going on today. So there's an enormous growth in people that are trying to do something about this. It's a worldwide movement. It's a diverse movement, all ages and all backgrounds. And I find that very hopeful. I think it's exciting. The obstacles are enormous, but it's moving.
And finally, Mark Lynn, let me go to you. How important is the issue of Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds as their capital for achieving peace in the Middle East?
Not just achieving peace in the Middle East, but throughout the entire world. Palestine is the issue. This is the place where the problems all began, and it is the place where the problems will end. Israel is reined in the region. We will not see any more wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya or Syria or Iran or anywhere else. Once Israel is chained up and put in the cage where she belongs, to where she cannot harm anyone and do any more damage to world peace and to world order, then you will see the world repairing itself. So Palestine is the issue. It always was. It always will be the issue. And I welcome the day that, as Alison has described here, that people begin to realize that they have a vested interest in solving this problem if they truly want to lead peaceful, prosperous lives.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to end it there. From the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mark Lynn with the statements. From Jews United Against Zionism, Rabbi David Feldman gave his statements from New York. And President of the Council for the National Interest, Alison Weir, thank you, from Minneapolis with her statements. And of course, thank you, the viewer, for watching. Send us any questions you may have, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vitakhvay and the entire team, it's goodbye.